Hey guys, Michael Hyatt here. Welcome to episode number 12 of The Double Win, my private podcast for Business Accelerator clients. Now, some of you have been leaving questions, and I thought I'd take some of those in this episode. I've let them accumulate, and I think it's time that I answer a few. So the first one is from Kyle.
Hey, Michael. Kyle Coolbroth. Say I love this episode and all the episodes that you're doing here in The Double Win. I had a question on this one regarding conflict resolution. I love the framework of space. However, I'm curious if there's ever situations where that framework and that approach is not applicable, where there is a conflict that might be external to what you actually can resolve in that moment. I'm just curious if that situation has ever occurred for you, and if it has, do you have a second framework or another idea on how to address that? Thanks. Keep up the great work.
Hey, Kyle, that's a great question. I wished I had thought of that before I recorded the episode. By the way, for those of you who haven't heard it, that's episode number 10, How to Diffuse Conflict Before It Begins. And in that episode, I give an acronym for doing that. It's called SPACE: stop, probe, acknowledge, confess, and explain. And I would say that that works about 90% of the time. Where it doesn't work is when somebody's making an accusation against you that is unfounded or untrue or just, you know, bogus. And so about 12 years ago, I had an employee who worked for me at Thomas Nelson who resigned several months before the end of the calendar year. And we paid our bonuses after the calendar year was complete. And he resigned before that period. And our contract with him made it very explicit that you had to be present to win. In other words, you had to finish the calendar year in order to earn your bonus. It wasn't earned until the calendar year was ended. Well, it was quite a big bonus if he had stayed, but he made the choice. Nobody asked him to. He resigned to join one of our competitors. And so he came to me and he appealed to me to give him the bonus anyway. I listened to him carefully. I tried to stop and probe, but honestly, there was nothing that we had done wrong, nothing the company had done wrong. We were simply upholding our end of the agreement, something that he voluntarily agreed to. Nobody held a gun to his head. He could have stayed till the end of the calendar year to earn his bonus, but he didn't. We got very angry with me as a result of that, angry with the company. He ended up suing us. It took us about 2 years to resolve it. He did not win his lawsuit, but it cost us a bunch of money, and it cost him a bunch of money. And in my opinion, to this day, he was just being unreasonable. And sadly, we're still not reconciled over that. And I don't know what else to do. You know, I've done everything I know to do, but in that particular situation, holding space was not sufficient. But great question. Okay. Next question comes from Steve.
Hi, Michael. Steve Anderson. My question for you is, how do you deal with AGAF, otherwise known as after goal achievement funk? I've had a goal for over 3 years that I've achieved this quarter, and far beyond what I ever thought possible. And I'm having a hard time thinking about a new goal and frankly getting excited about another goal because this was such a big goal. And so what are your thoughts, strategies, ideas for getting excited again about a new really stretch goal? Thanks.
Steve, thanks for that question. For those of you that don't know, Steve is the author of the Bezos Letters, 14 Principles to Grow Your Business Like Amazon. And Steve's worked hard on this book for about 3 years. He worked with his wife, Karen, on it. The book hit the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. It's been purchased by 9 different companies for foreign translations. And so he is rocking and rolling. So, Steve, I would give you 3 pieces of advice. First of all, celebrate. Now, thankfully, you're doing that because I was at your book release party on Friday here in Franklin, and you guys did a great job of celebrating it. And I was privileged to have the opportunity to help celebrate you. But I think you really need to do that. For the rest of you that have hit a big goal, you've got to take time to celebrate it. I mean, this is one way to bring closure to that chapter of your life and really, you know, just kind of, I don't know, put a pin on it or put a bow on it or something so that you can really, you know, experience kind of emotionally what it meant to accomplish that goal. So I would say, first of all, celebrate. Second, rest. You know, you don't have to just go from one goal to the next. You know, take a deep breath, take a breather. I mean, this is kind of akin, and I hope this is not offensive to anybody, but this is a little bit like a woman who's just had a baby and all of a sudden, you know, wants to get pregnant immediately again. I mean, you just need a little bit of time to kind of chill out, to rest, to kind of enjoy that new baby before you think about having another one. And I think that's true when it comes to goals too. We just need to rest and kind of just chill out. There's probably some fatigue there. There's probably some mental fatigue, some emotional fatigue, maybe even some physical fatigue. So if you're feeling a little bit tired or drained or just don't have the energy, congratulations, you're normal. I felt like that when I've accomplished big goals as well. And then the third thing I would say, and don't do this too quickly, but eventually I would just start to actively dream. You know, maybe you want to take the life score test and just look at the various domains of your life and evaluate where they are and where maybe you need to put some focus and emphasis over this next year. But I would just take some time to dream. And this is a wonderful thing, Steve, for you to do with Karen, for you guys just to dream about, you know, what's next. You've proven to yourself that you could accomplish a big goal and you've done a phenomenal job staying focused and getting that job done. So what else can you take on? I mean, what if this was not about achieving the goal, but what if it was about the growth that you experienced as a result of achieving this amazing goal that you achieved? So now what's possible? What could you accomplish in other areas of your life? You know, maybe it's your physical life or your spiritual life or your financial life or your social life or something with your family. I don't know. Or it could be something else with your work, but take time to dream. So that'd be kind of my three-part answer. Celebrate, rest, and then eventually, not too soon, dream. This next question is from Nicholas, and it's about one-on-one meetings.
Hi, Michael. This is Nicholas Miller with ARCU. I just wanted to say that episode 10 on conflict was fantastic. It was really good information, and those types of podcasts are really interesting for me on how to handle difficult situations. And I also had a question, potential topic for a future episode, specifically on one-on-one meetings. I'd be interested to know how you structure them, what types of questions you ask, how often you have them, with whom you have them, so on and so forth. But that's a topic that I struggle with on how to elicit good feedback from my colleagues. Thanks.
So here's the way I structure one-on-one meetings. And by the way, I have one-on-one meetings with my direct reports, and I do that once a week. Now, at the time, I only have three direct reports. There have been times when I've had as many as 10. And in those situations, I would do a one-on-one meeting every other week. So it just kind of depends on your span of your operation and how many people you're trying to deal with. But I like them to be about 30 minutes long. I schedule them for 45. The time I spend with Megan is a little bit longer than that because we usually have lunch together on Mondays. And because she's the COO of our company and we've got so much going on, we usually schedule that for an hour and a half. And yet that's usually about adequate enough time. The more important thing, though, is to develop a regular cadence. So more important than the length is the cadence of those meetings. And I think it's important to have regular touch points for one-on-one meetings. So here's how I typically structure it. We spend the first few minutes reviewing what we covered in our last session. So just kind of catching up. We might celebrate a few wins that happened over the course of the last week or the last 2 weeks, depending on how long it's been since we last met. But I always, always like to start my meetings with wins. I think that's important to kind of set the tone and to give us the right mindset as we begin to talk about other stuff. Then we review the commitments that we made in the prior meeting. So if my direct report had any commitments that they made, then I want to check up, make sure we check those items off. And I also want them to feel that they've got accountability. If they made a commitment at the last meeting, now's the time to give an account. By the way, I heard an interesting definition of accountability. I can't really make anybody accountable. What I can do is hold the space for them to give an account for the promise or the commitment that they made. And so that's what I'm trying to do during the session. Then we move on to, you know, what some people just call new business. Generally speaking, this is going to be populated, or the agenda is going to be created by the person who reports to me. So I ask them to come with an agenda and to submit that to me in advance before we meet, so that I know what we want to talk about. And frankly, I want them to be thoughtful about this time, so they're not just wasting my time or their time, but there's a specific set of things that they want to talk about. It's also a time for me to be able to talk about things that I want to mention to them. So it's not that formal, but it does give a basic structure. Then at the end, we want to summarize the commitments that we've made as we've discussed each of these items, the commitments that each of us have made to do by the time we get together or whatever the due date is. But it's a simple structure, and you can set up an agenda as a template in something like Google Docs, and then just populate it each week, and then let that give sort of the structure and the framework for running those kind of meetings. So that's how I do it. This last question is from Wayne Stiles, and it's about public speaking, about my episode last week.
Hey, Michael, it's Wayne Stiles. I don't have so much a fear of public speaking. I guess I do until I get up there, and then the autopilot just kind of kicks in. But the reality is, I guess I'm more interested in the strategy behind it, and maybe that's more what I'm fearing. I know that you, when you left Thomas Nelson, you did public speaking a lot. In fact, that was your bread and butter. Then you pulled way back, and now you're kind of getting back into it. And so I'm interested in the strategy of what am I doing when I'm speaking publicly? Am I giving information about my product? Is it my message? What's the strategy behind my public speaking that makes it so skyrocket? All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
I love this question, Wayne. Thanks for asking it. Yeah, so initially my strategy for speaking was very simple. I was trading time for dollars. In other words, I was trying to make a living, and the fee was everything. So I was trying to go out there and speak for fees, and that was my income, largely my income, after I left Thomas Nelson. But as I began to replace that, and by the way, the reason I got tired of that is I didn't like the traveling. I didn't like to be away from home as much, and it was just too much. You know, it can be exhausting. And so as I began to replace that income with things like membership sites and courses and all that, I didn't have to speak as much, so I pulled back. In fact, I've pulled way back to the point where the last couple of years, I've only spoken about, you know, four or five times at outside engagements and a couple of times at my own engagements. Now that Business Accelerator is ramped up, now I'm speaking quite a bit. I mean, I'm speaking 8 to 10 times every quarter, 8 to 10 days every quarter. And so that's a lot. But the good news for me is, you know, people are coming into Nashville, so I'm not having to do the travel. I actually love speaking. I love being in front of an audience. I love engaging with people, especially in kind of the small group format like that we have at Business Accelerator, because I'm able to witness the transformation. I feel like I'm able to be more specific in terms of tailoring the content to the people who are in the room and making sure that they get the breakthroughs that they need to succeed, you know, in their business, to win at work and succeed at life. But recently, we decided that we were going to be more aggressive. And this is the strategy behind going out more, but we're going to be more aggressive in terms of speaking to outside engagements. And so this was largely as a result of interacting with Pete Vargas, who runs a business called Advance Your Reach. And his whole strategy is using other people's stages to be able to sell your products or services, especially high-end products or services. So you offer great content, valuable content, and you get paid a fee for it, but at the same time, you kind of soft pitch a service. In my case, it would be Business Accelerator, typically. It might be the Focus Leader, but it's pitching something else. So not only am I making the fee to speak, but in addition to that, I'm selling courses or I'm selling seats in our coaching program. And so I'm very excited about that. In fact, I'm doing the first of those here this next month in October of 2019. But now I want to speak probably about 10 to 15 times outside of our own organization on other people's stages. I think I have a total of 8 between now and the end of the year. And again, I'm super excited about them. But it's also not just relying on me. So one of the things Pete did for us is we put together a speaking team. So we've got 8 people internally at Michael Hyatt and Company, who make up our speaking team. We're all giving the exact same message, which is called the double win. You guys have heard me talk about that, but it's the double win message. But each person inserts their own personal stories. So the content's the same. We've all worked together on it, but the stories are different depending on who's delivering that message. So typically what happens is that somebody will call Pete's company because they're representing our speaking. Somebody will call Pete's company and they'll make an inquiry into having somebody from our company come and speak. And they may inquire if I can do it. If they can't afford me, they'll ask about somebody in my team. But either way, they're paying a fee, typically. There may be some stages that I'm willing to get on for no fee. But then somebody will go out and give that double win message. So the strategy of it is not only to sell additional products and services, but to get our core message out there. And frankly, for me as a business owner, to make the message of the company less dependent upon me and more focused on the message itself. And that's a larger part of a strategic initiative that we're doing to depersonalize Michael Hyatt and Company. And I don't mean we don't want to be personal, but I mean we want it less dependent upon me as a personality. So that's kind of the big picture behind it. I hope that helps. Okay, guys, that's it for this episode of The Double Win. If you found this episode valuable or if you've got additional questions, let me know inside the online community of Mighty Networks. If you've got a question you want me to consider answering here on The Double Win, leave me a voicemail just like our participants did today. So until next time, keep pursuing the double win. It's not either or. You really can win at work and succeed at life. See you guys this week. Many of you got your coaching intensive this week. Some of you next week. Regardless, I look forward to seeing you face to face. See you soon.